Faith is sin. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And I can't please Greg unless I turn my mic on. Okay. I don't know how many of you saw it. Chris was telling me, and I heard four or five different people in the last day or so talk about this app they got on their phone where you got a picture and it makes you look 20 years older. And everybody was jumping on it, seeing what they look like in 20 years. I was thinking, I'd be afraid they'd have a box and flowers if I want to see what I look like in 20 years. But anyway, open your Bibles, two places. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We preached last week, both Sunday, we preached both messages, out chapter 3, and we looked at a few other things, but in 2 Thessalonians, and Sunday morning, we preached about how that the coming of Jesus shakes people up, and all the things happening around us is something to stir people that knows what's happening. The sad part about it is, people that doesn't know what's going on are so ignorant, they're going to get caught as a thief in the night comes. They're not going to realize he's coming. He's going to come, going to be gone, and they're not going to realize that he even came and gone and took away the saints. Then, of course, Sunday night, we looked at the same passage of Scripture in chapter 3, a few verses before that, where Paul was talking, we preached on this entitlement philosophy and ideology that this left that wants to push upon the nation, and showed you what the Bible said about thinking that you were entitled. I like Paul's philosophy, and I like the Word of God. You're able to work. If you don't work, you shouldn't eat. Go hungry a day or two. You'll get up there and find something to do, and you can find a little work somewhere along the way. And, it's a shame where we've gotten to. But anyway, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Keep your Bibles. I want to go to a few places tonight. Let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, and we'll read that first. Look, if you would, in verse number 1. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, that I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a servant beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Now I want you to get that last little statement that I made. And I want you to know, now listen to me very carefully. The devil hasn't changed in all these years. He is still a master deceiver. He still knows how to get the job done. He hasn't changed. And so here, Paul says, I'm fearful that what he did to Eve in the garden, he's going to do to you all. The same way. He's subtle. He's not going to do it overnight, or he's not going to do it quickly. It's going to be a little bit. And said, before you know it, he's going to corrupt the simplicity of Christ. Look in verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth, what? Another Jesus. Another Jesus means a different Jesus. And listen, different is not the same. When you change Jesus, then it's a different Jesus. When you change the Jesus that is the Word of God, that the Word tells us about, that came from God, the Son of God, when you change Jesus, it's another Jesus. It's a different Jesus. Now, look on. Or if you receive another what? Look back. Another spirit, which ye have not received. In other words, you receive a different spirit. it's going to be a different spirit. And the Bible says there's one Holy Spirit, one spirit, but there's many seducing spirits. And so there's a lot of people that's going to have a different spirit. Have you ever talked to somebody who claims to be saved, and you say, they don't have the same spirit I do? A lot of different spirits right now. And so Paul said, I'm afraid that he's going to deceive you to have a different Jesus and a different spirit. And look on. He says, which ye have not received, or another what? Gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So notice that he said, the devil's, he's capable. His job, his task is get you believing another Jesus. His task is get you believing another, have another spirit, and to believe in another gospel. The Bible says that the gospel, the true gospel, be hid, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If it be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. And the Bible also says here that these three things the devil works at. Look, if you would, in 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. Verse number 1 says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon what? Shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit. Now notice there again, that spirit. We have been given the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of spirits. Or by word. Or by letter. Now the word was the word that they were preaching. And the letter was the word of God that Paul was writing. As from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Now, he's talking about the coming of the Antichrist and all those things. But tonight, I want us to look at some tricks of the devil. And we need to be aware. And if you're going to fight somebody, you're going to battle, you need to understand their philosophy. And their philosophy is simple. He's got a simple philosophy, but yet it's a deadly philosophy. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 and keep your finger there. And we're going to keep referring back there. We're going to look at Eve. And we're going to see a couple things, and we're going to go to a couple other verses. Chapter 3 of Genesis. Now, the Bible says that God is not the author of what? Confusion. God is someone that does not, he is not someone that causes confusion. He's not someone that gives you three or four different directions to think and different ideas. Somebody said, well, we believe this over here, and well, we believe this over here. There's only one truth. One truth. The Bible says there's one spirit, one faith, one. One Jesus. Amen. Now, look if you would in Genesis chapter 3. Let's look back and see a little bit of how the devil works. Look if you would in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So the first thing that the devil tries to get you to do is disagree with the word of God. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I don't think that. Well, you just said you disagree with God. You've just stated that God's wrong. And if you get anywhere with God, you've got to come to this one conclusion. You can't be saved without this one conclusion. He's right and I'm wrong. And so what you need to understand is the devil is busy trying to get people to disagree with the word of God. Look on, if you would, keep your finger there in Genesis. Look back, if you would, in the New Testament in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, real quickly. I want you to turn a few places and I'll tie it all in here in a little bit. Look, if you would, in verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Somebody said, well, I just don't see it that way. I just don't believe it. That don't change the word of God. Look in verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be what? True and what? Every man a liar, as is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Listen, I don't care what you think. I don't care what you believe. And when you differ from the word of God, you are disagreeing with God. And you are being led aside and astray by the devil. Now, does that mean that I always do everything that the Bible says? No. But it's right, and I'm wrong when I don't. My point is this. The devil is busy trying to get you to disagree with the word of God. And I can't tell you how many people, how many churches have been split. God's not the author of that confusion. And when you have four or five people split in a church, believing four or five different things, God's not in the middle of all that. There's one truth. I used to come, and when I first came to this church, they had some traditions and so forth that they had built into, and I took one at a time. I said, now, in a couple weeks, I'm going to teach on this. You all study. Show me in the Bible why you believe the way you believe. I'm not interested in what Grandpa did. I'm not interested in what Grandma did. I'm not interested in how you always did it. I'm interested in what the Bible teaches about these subjects. Now, in 2 weeks, I'm going to be preaching and teaching. When I get through, I'll give you a chance. But you've got to use Scripture. It's got to be in the context. And I said, know what you're talking about when you bring it up. And we went, and we broke down each one. And you know, I never had anybody to bring up anything. And the biggest battle I ever had here when I first came was over taking missionaries on. And lost one person over that. And incidentally, the richest man I ever had come here. But, you know, where we had a battle to take on missionaries for $25 a month, that year we gave $25,000. So God worked that out. But listen to me very carefully. The devil tries to get you to disagree with the word of God. Second of all, look back in your Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And knows this in verse number 3. It says, but the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, the second thing he tries to do is get you to lead you into error of the Scripture. Confusion. Where you put things in Scripture that's not there. And you take things away from Scripture. I'll never forget one time, I've told this time or two, and some of you may or may not understand it, but I was in a furniture store one day, and this lady come in, and she was a pretty large woman, and she was dragging this little thin, skinny guy behind her. And she kept saying, she's talking to the guy back behind the counter, and she said, the Bible says this. The Bible says this, and the Bible says it. And there wasn't one of those things the Bible said. And I sat there, and I kept saying, Billy, shut up. Leave it alone. Let it go. And she just kept on. And so finally, I had enough. And because she said she was a preacher over here somewhere, and I said, let me ask you some questions. I said, you got a Bible? I asked the guy, I said, you got a Bible? He said, yeah. I said, bring it here. I said, sit in front of her. She said seven things. I said, I named each one of them. I said, show me where that's at in the Bible. Well, I don't know where it's at, but it's in there. I said, it's not in there. I said, quit running around telling people it's in there when you don't even know where it's at. I said, you're misleading people with what you're saying. And when you're misleading a word of God, that's not coming from God. And if you can't take the Scripture and you can't identify Scripture, I said, while we're there and you can't show me any of these seven things, where did you get your authority to preach? And then, boy, she jerked that little guy up and took off out the door. The devil is busy misinterpreting Scripture. And he wants to misinterpret Scripture, and he'll add a little bit here, take a little bit here, and it makes a whole world of difference when you begin to do that. And all that, look if you would in verse 5. The Bible says, the devil comes back to her. In verse 4, it says, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What the devil does is this. He tries to make it all about you. And when somebody says something that offends you, and what you're doing, you're just going to blow up because you're going to be mad because they said something, and you don't like anybody criticizing you. The devil tries to make it all about you. And therefore, when it's all about you, and he said, oh, you can't believe God. Listen, he just don't want you to be as wise as he is. And that's what he tries to do. But the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit comes, that he will point us to one, which is Jesus, not ourselves. Look back, if you would, in verse number 7, chapter 3. And the eyes of them were open, and they knew that they were what? Naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron. When the devil takes Scripture and misleads you, and deceives you, it will never lead to holiness. It will never lead to a change of life that's right. Now remember, the devil is taking, he's trying to change Jesus, a different Jesus. He's trying to change and make a different word, a different gospel. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do that. Now we know the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so what we have is we have him coming, and he's wanting to change this modern gospel, changes the gospel. People says, well, we just preach the gospel of Jesus. Well, that sounds good, but there's some things that's being left out of this modern gospel. It's another gospel. Let me show you some things. And who's behind it? The old devil. Look on. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Look, if you would, in verse number 45 in Luke chapter 24. Then opened he, this is Jesus, their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead, to what? Third day. Die, buried, rose again. Now those, if you would, in verse 47. That and that, what? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. So first of all, this new gospel, this different gospel, omits repentance. So many churches have quit preaching any repentance. What they're trying to do is, just this last week, I got asked, do I believe that homosexuals can be saved? Yes, but not without repentance. You understand? What we've done today is come as you are, what you are, what you do, and any way you want to do it, and oh, God will just overlook all that. That's another gospel that God did not author. If you preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There was a time when it man's ignorance God winked at, but now God commendeth all men everywhere to what? Repent. So therefore, don't think that you can't you can just come and be saved and stay just the person you are. There's not an example in the Bible that someone got saved and wasn't changed when they got saved. Not one example. And so this idea and this new gospel is that we have in these last days is of the devil. It's not of God. Anytime you find somebody refusing to repent, and by the way, let me say this, and I'll offend some people sometimes with this. Listen to me very carefully. I believe in soul winning. I believe that you can take the gospel, share it to people, and win their souls. But some has turned it in to just a procedure, A, B, C, D, and get you to say something or get you to pray after me, and boom, without any repentance at all. That's not the gospel. If someone's going to be saved, it's going to be because the Holy Ghost is there drawing them, convicting them, and he will born them again if they are saved. I asked one time, I had this one guy. He used to bug me every time he saw me. Now, Chris knows who I'm talking about. But he used to bug me every time he said, "Brother Miller, how many souls you had saved today?" And he'd always have 5, 10, 12. And I asked him one time. He caught me on the wrong day. Well, I went in the bathroom. And as I started in the bathroom, I met him coming out. We was playing a ball game, Christian school. "Bless God, Brother Miller, I just saved 3 boys in there." I walked in there and they were laughing, talking about the kook that was just in there. They were making fun of him. Those boys didn't get saved. And so one day I asked him, I said, "How many of you think you've seen saved this month?" He told me, boy, he had a number. I said, "How many in this last year?" 535, I believe is what he told me. And this was on Monday morning. I said, "Out of that 535 that you've had saved this year, name one that was in church yesterday." He couldn't name one. I said, "That's your problem. You're saving them and God's not." I said, "It's got to have repentance." And this gospel of saying, I heard someone one time in Sword of the Lord, they was talking about this guy said he saw somebody standing outside on this store. He was standing there by the door and leaning up against the building like this. He said, "I walked by and I said, 'Are you saved?'" He said, "He wouldn't even talk to me. 'Would you go to heaven if you died?' He wouldn't even say a word to me." He said, "I went in the store and I come back and I told him, I said, 'If you'd like to go to heaven when you get saved, when you die, shake my hand.'" He said he shook my hand and then he was up there bragging that the guy got saved and he won that guy to the Lord. That's not salvation. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil today has got this gospel that is another gospel. When the true gospel is preached, it's got to have repentance. And without repentance, there is no salvation. Look on. Look back, if you would, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. Well, I'll tell you what. Just go to 2 Timothy. I'll end up there. 2 Timothy. While you're doing that, and I'll read this while you turn. In 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter said this in verse 14. He said, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to former lust and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, 'Be ye holy, for I am holy.'" That's what I want you to understand too, and I touched on this last point, but I want to touch on it right here. Now listen to me. When you go somewhere that someone in a lifestyle, I'll just use example, homosexual lifestyle. When you go somewhere and they're accepting those people without a change of life, you better find you another place, because that's another gospel. God saves and changes. He saves sinners. But he doesn't expect you to continue in the sin in which he saved you. As he told the woman in adultery, he said, "Go and sin no more. Now, not only that, but look if you would in 2 Timothy, real quickly. Let me show you 3 points. I'm going to close, but I want you to see this. This other gospel, this gospel that Satan omits. Look if you would in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Note if you would in verse number 1 and 2. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. What? Reprove. What? Rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. In other words, he said, listen, when you preach, you're going to have to reprove. Reprove says that you identify there's a change in direction people need to make. Rebuke is a harsh reproof that you're doing something. Exhort is encouraging. It's educating. It's a teaching. And the Bible says that when you preach, you do it. But in this new gospel that we're seeing, the devil brought in, nothing negative is ever said about anybody. It's all positive preaching. No reproving. No rebuking. When you find that, you stay away from those. Oh, preacher, they're filling stadiums up. Absolutely. You know why they go? Because there's no conviction about it. And it's awful easy to go and fill a stadium up when you're telling everybody everything's fine. Don't worry about it. And how God is so pleased to have them just the way they are. So therefore, this new gospel has no reproof, no rebuke. Look on, if you would, in verse number 3 and 4. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the what? And shall be turned into what? Also, this new gospel omits doctrine. I remember a while back, when they wanted to get a bunch of churches together and start a big Christian school, they called us in. They said, don't you want to be a part of this? I said, how can we all be a part of one? I said, what are you going to preach? Because there was different denominations. Some believed in eternal security. Some believed in losing salvation. Some believed it. I said, what are you going to preach? Oh, we're not going to preach in doctrine. I said, how can you preach without doctrine? I said, when somebody comes up the aisle and they want to be saved, are you going to tell them that they have eternal life? You can tell them they don't have eternal life. You got to get in doctrine. You can't preach without doctrine. And this new gospel that Satan has brought about in these last days is one that has no doctrine. Because doctrine separates people. And the Bible says that they will seek teachers having itching ears. But they'll turn away from sound doctrine. The Bible still, and by the way, that word sound means spiritually healthy. What's healthy for you? And that's why we see so many people so crippled in their spiritual life, because they eat on all the wrong things. They don't feed on something that's healthy, a healthy diet. And I know I'm not going to get into physical diets, and we're not going to go there. One more thing. Look, if you would, in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy right there. The Bible says, verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the what? Holy Scriptures. You know what the word holy means? It means it's been separated. There's something special. Which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith, which is in where? Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now listen, this new gospel this other gospel, this other Jesus, and this other Bible two that's different cannot be the same. You hear me? You either believe that the Word of God is holy, inspired, inerrant, and you can't take that Bible, and I've done this before, I've taken King James Bible, and I put about 12, 15 other different versions that's come along since 1900s out in people's lap, and I had everybody stand up and read the same verse. And so when you have a whole passage that's changed, or absent and omitted, those two things can't be the same. The devil has been successful in another word, because another word teaches on another Jesus. He don't have to get you to quit church. He just has to get you believing in a different gospel, a different word that's all about you, a different Jesus that has no condemnation about anything he says. And if he can get you believing in that, there will be souls damned everywhere, because there is only one gospel, one faith, one word, one Jesus. And the devil began with Eve, and he does the same thing today. And I'll be honest with you, and I know Brother Bruce can back this up, because I was shocked when I began to go preach in so many places. It's amazing how many places doesn't know those things. And they are completely ignorant, and they are easily led in any direction on those three subjects, because they haven't studied to rightly divide the word of truth. And therefore, there's another spirit. When someone doesn't have the right Jesus, the right word, the right gospel, there's another spirit. And that's why you have such wicked spirits in your churches, because people doesn't have the Holy Spirit. They have other spirits that the devil has deceived them into believing that they are saved. But there's only one Holy Spirit. So folks, don't be shaken in these last days. But you better believe in those one things, and never get sidetracked on another. And be confident in those truths. Amen. Let's stand. Brother Jesse, can you get a song?